السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز, وی ہیو بین ڈسکسنگ سورہ والدحیٰ اوور دا پاسٹ فیو ویکس. وی کنٹینیو فرام ویئر وی لیفٹ آف لاسٹ جمعہ. جسٹ ٹو ریکیپ, دا رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, the wahi which was coming to him, the revelation of the Quran Sharif, for a short period of time Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his wisdom, he withheld it. And the greatest concern of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must not become displeased under any condition. Of course, there was no question of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam displeasing Allah Ta'ala, because he was masoom, he was sinless. But that connection that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's Rasul had with him, he did not want that there should be any kind of disconnection in that. So what was the reason for the delay? Now the kuffar, the mushrikeen, they began to taunt, jeer, laugh and make a mockery, and make such kind of statements which hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your Rabb has forsaken you. And na'uzu billah, some even said your shaitan has forsaken you. And some went to the extent that your Rabb has become displeased with you. So now to give Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam an assurance that Allah ta'ala is not displeased, he is not in any way, he has not in any way disconnected himself, Allah ta'ala has not become annoyed, Allah Ta'ala hasn't forgotten him. So he gave him assurance. And in this surah, in a beautiful way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَالضُّحَى, by the glorious morning light, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and when the night is calm and still. I gave you a detailed explanation that there are benefits in every situation in a person's life. If there are occasions of disaster, occasions of sadness and sorrow and grief, then that is like the night, which has many, many benefits. We should not always just look forward to sunlight, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, in His hikmah, He knows what is best for each person. Some people, He takes them through the route of shukr, gives them plenty of ni'mats and keeps it that way until the person's dying day. And some people, he takes them through the route of sabr and gives them tests and trials throughout their lives. When people look at their lives, they think that this person is not enjoying any bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas that person, no matter what kind of problems and difficulties he may be going through, but Allah Ta'ala has still blessed him in that stage with many, many gifts and bounties, if he has to only ponder and reflect. The very fact that he is alive, the very fact that he is seeing, hearing, the very fact that he is walking, so if he doesn't have money in his pocket, or if he is suffering poverty or starvation, it does not mean that the person is deprived of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. To be able to breathe in easily and breathe out is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Ask those who are asthmatic that how much of difficulty they have in breathing. So many a times we just look at certain things which we term as ni'mats and bounties, and we come to conclusions that Allah Ta'ala is pleased or is displeased. Whereas, as I just mentioned, that sometimes it is Allah Ta'ala's wisdom that He wants to take the person through that route, so He tests him all along in his life, but then rewards him with so much, that the person cannot even imagine what he is going to get. And some people, he tests them sometimes with sugar and sometimes with sour, sometimes with bounties and sometimes with difficulties. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told by means of this surah, or is informed that when the wahi was coming also, it was a great bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And withholding that wahi for some time, there's a great bounty in that too. Just as the night and the day both have their benefits. And just as the day is sure to follow the night, in the same way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the assurance that there will definitely be an ease in these conditions that you are facing. The wahi will again come to you. And in fact, it has commenced with this revelation of the surah wa-duha. So this is what was being experienced by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And now we come to this ayat which we discussed briefly last week. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And soon your Rabb is going to give you so much that you will become pleased. Now although we may refer or say that this ayat refers to the hereafter, but it is not only to the hereafter, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that Allah Ta'ala has been giving to you, is giving to you at present, and will continue to give to you as much as will please you. Now, there are many ahadith with regards to the shafa'at of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, intercession and other things, but I actually do not have the time to go into the details. What I want to do is to just give you the gist of it and relate it to our present circumstances. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you so much that you'll become pleased. You'll become pleased with him. Mufassirin have mentioned many, many things, but one khatib of Pakistan, he mentioned a very beautiful thing. He said that if you look at all the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all of them, they said that we are doing whatever we are doing so that Allah ta'ala may become pleased with us. That is what they said. If you had to ask, for example, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, why are you making so much of sabr over the loss of your son, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when his brothers out of jealousy put him into the well and then he was sold and the whole story that goes with it. Finally, of course, they were united. But he will say that everything I am doing is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, so that my Allah may become pleased. If someone has to ask Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam that why are you tolerating such kind of difficulties and hardships, and why in the stomach of the whale, darkness upon darkness upon darkness, the darkness of the waters of the ocean, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the stomach of the whale, then he will say, so that my Allah may become pleased with me. If a person has to ask Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years you're making tabligh, you're calling the people at daytime, nighttime, in private, in public, they are stoning you, they're jeering, they're laughing, they're mocking, they're teasing, they're doing everything, they don't want to accept Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as the Khaliq and Malik and Rabb and Raziq, then why are you still doing it so that my Allah may become pleased with me? If you have to ask all the awliya-i-kiram, Hazrat Khaja Muhyiddin Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Alauddin Sabir Kalyari Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Nizamuddin Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi and Hazrat Bayazid Bustami Rahmatullah Alayh, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, anyone that you have to ask that why are you making this ibadah, zikr, tilawat, assisting the poor and needy, helping the weak, caring for the destitute, why are you writing the tafsir of the Quran Sharif or making commentary on the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Why are you fulfilling the rights of your neighbors and your society? Then they will say, for one purpose only, and that is so that my Allah may become pleased with me. So for everyone, my Allah may become pleased with me. All the righteous ones, they will say the same thing, that why are you doing all these things? So that my Allah may become pleased. Not so that I may get name and fame, and it is not for show business that I am doing my a'mal, and it is not for show business that I am fulfilling the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as is very common in our lives these days, that we do 1% of deen work and we talk 100%. So there was no show business. They were doing everything for the sake of Allah ta'ala so that Allah may become pleased. But with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who himself said that whatever he is doing also is solely so that Allah ta'ala may become pleased. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat, which is said in the night of Miraj. There too it was the same thing, that, oh Allah, all my ibadat, whether it is physical, oral, monetary, whatever service to deen, whatever da'wat and tabligh that I am making, inviting the kuffar, the mushrikeen towards deen, and everything that I am doing solely, O Allah, for your pleasure. But he is the only Nabi that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, which in effect means that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you so much that you will become pleased. Allah ta'ala is concerned about your pleasure. You are concerned about his pleasure that is in his place. But in this case, Allah ta'ala says he is very much concerned that you must become pleased. Therefore, we will notice that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although he went through so much of trials and tests, so much of torture and so much of jeering and mocking and teasing by his enemies, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed how he assisted and helped his Nabi in the most difficult of all situations. For example, in Badr, when they were just 313 and the enemies were armed to the teeth and there was no question of the Muslims surviving, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down his angels and gave them victory. And many other occasions, there's no time to go into details. Whenever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised his hands and made dua for someone, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted the dua. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prayed for anyone's hidayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave that person hidayat. Unless that person himself was obstinate and he was not interested in hidayat, then no matter how much you desire, but you cannot thrust it down anybody's throat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I will give you so much that you will become pleased. Why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an iman? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became pleased with that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, O Allah, one of the two Umars, bless them with hidayat and iman. Allah ta'ala gave Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an Islam and Iman, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was pleased with that. So there are so many things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed, that whatever is your pleasure, we will fulfill that. So from there we learn one lesson, that if we are going to do things for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will also please us. And that pleasure will not come just in the form of material things. That is something that we have to get out of our heads and minds. Material things are not necessarily the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It is very unfortunate that the moment we see a person owning a big house, or the king has got a big palace and he's got the best cars in the world and he's got plenty of people at his service and beck and command, then our conclusion is Allah Ta'ala is very pleased with that person. And we will notice also many a times in conversation that a person who is cinemas, theatres, prostitute quarters, gambling, every kind of haram he is indulging in, but if he has to talk to you, he will say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's great fazl and ihsan, Allah has been very kind to me. Why? Because he looks at what he has got in material world. And that's our automatic conclusion, that if he's got plentiful of the material world, then Allah Ta'ala is extremely pleased with him. But I mentioned once, after returning from Cape Town, that Bantry Bay and that other side where all those massive houses are, practically each and every one of those million-dollar homes are owned by Jews. So now do we come to the conclusion Allah is extremely pleased with those Jews, that's why he gave them all that. Economy, in whose hands it is? The banking institutions, who controls that? Who does not know in whose hands the economy is? So do we come to the conclusion that these Jews who are controlling the economy, so now therefore Allah Ta'ala is extremely pleased with them? So that is not the criteria. Many times I have mentioned that neither is plentiful of wealth automatically the sign that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with that person, and neither is poverty the sign that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with that person. If a person has plenty of wealth also, it is not necessary that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with him. And if a person has poverty, it's not necessary that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with him. A person can have plentiful and he can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He can be a king and he can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He can be a governor of a country and he can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He can be in parliament, he can be in cabinet, and he can still be the wali and friend of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala can be pleased with him. And on the other hand, the person can have everything and Allah Ta'ala is not pleased with him. So material possessions are not necessarily a criterion by which you judge that Allah Ta'ala is pleased or displeased. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure is something else, and the person senses that in his heart. Otherwise it is just like that one person who put up a massive building, and it was all put up with interest money. He was a great money lender. And after he put up that building, then one waliullah saw shaitan in human form, and these things happen. So he saw him in human form, sitting nearby the building, and crying and weeping and throwing dust over himself. So this wali of Allah Ta'ala, who got kashf and saw this shaitan in that state, asked him that, why is it? Why are you so sad? Why are you crying here today? He says, no, this person who put up this huge building, I showed him all the tricks of how to go about putting this. Take interest money, gamble money, cheat, deceive, fraud, everything. I was the one who showed him all the tricks. And after he put up the building, he wrote the Haza min Fadli Rabbi. This is the fazl of my Rabb that he gave me such a big building. So I was his tutor, and now he's thanking his Allah for this building. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not look at that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he did was for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala says that we will give you so much that you will become pleased. Now the kuffar and mushrikeen had only said that your Allah Ta'ala has become displeased with you and he has broken off contact with you. Now look at the number of verses Allah Ta'ala is bringing, and qasams he is taking to show and assure Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that there is no such thing. I am extremely pleased with you. So Allah Ta'ala goes further and he says, even if you have to look at the Kaabatullah, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was facing Baytul Muqaddas and making his salat for 16 to 17 months after coming to Madina Sharif. Also they were facing in the direction of Jerusalem. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Seeing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was raising his face towards the heavens in the salat, and his desire was that the Qibla should be changed to the Kaabatullah. In the salat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changed the Qibla. And those who went a few years ago, then they would have seen the two Qiblas. The masjid is still known as Zu Qiblatayn, Masjid of two Qiblas. Now imagine the dedication and the commitment and the obedience of the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in, who were reading salat with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that in the salat they changed the whole Qibla. We are making in one direction, then they went right round and made in another direction. From that side they came and started making towards the Qibla. But all silently in their namaz, the whole group is turning around. Now can we just imagine what kind of aqidat and muhabbat and azmat and what kind of respect and honor Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had in their hearts. How much of commitment they had to Sharia, to Deen, to Islam, that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam does, whatever he teaches us, whichever direction he asks us to face, that is the best for us. There was no questioning that, or one of us, if we had been in that salat, then practically all of us would have shouted, Imam Sahib, are you okay? What's happening to you today? Suddenly you're taking a walk in salat from this end to the other end. Now there not one sahabi questions. Why? Because the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is doing that, then we will also follow. But the point there is, again, it was the desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so Allah Ta'ala fulfilled it. And the lesson for us in there is this, that again, if we want Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure, and with Allah Ta'ala's pleasure comes contentment, ease, comfort. With Allah Ta'ala's pleasure comes peace and tranquility and serenity and joy. All these are not just words, they are a reality. Just as we know that every word has got some kind of haqiqat and reality behind it, in the same way all these words have got a reality. That with Allah Ta'ala's pleasure the person will get all these things. Now we are searching for it in all haram. In all kinds of haram we are searching for peace and sukoon. So where it is not, we are searching for it. And we will never ever find it because it is not there. Wherever we see a little bit of light, a little bit of glimmer and a little bit of shine and a little bit of music and a little bit of enjoyment and fun and pleasure, then we say definitely peace of mind must be there. At present the school holidays, so now everybody is ready for holidays. Meaning what? That all restrictions have now been removed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has now given holidays, and it means that now you can forget about salat, you can forget about your character and akhlaq and moral behavior. Now all the places where there's some obscenity, some shamelessness, some indecent things being shown, wherever there is any kind of pleasure that will be for the nafs and for shaitan, then we will go there, irrespective of what Allah Ta'ala says, what His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is immaterial. But we are in search of peace and happiness and pleasure, so we will go there. Now there could have been a time when the shows of the time were not so bad as they are today. There would have been lesser of the two evils. But today we know that whether it's a Boswell circus, or whether it is the cinema, or the theater, or the movies, or certain areas, they have all become no-go areas for the Muslim, the person who has got a commitment to deen and sharia. And especially if he's in search of sukoon. If he's not in search of sukoon, he wants a life of restlessness, he wants anxieties, worries and problems and disaster in his family life, in his home, in his business, then he is most welcome to go to those places. But if he is in search of sukoon, then he cannot find sukoon in going and watching all that haram. And taking his family along, it complicates the problem, it compounds the problem. How can you find sukoon in those places where nothing but the wrath of Allah Ta'ala is descending? Ask any youngster who has gone through the rave clubs and the music and all the scenes, that when he brings about a change in his life, ask him, now what is the difference? Did he ever find sukoon in those places? We just don't know what's the meaning of this sukoon. And where will sukoon land? It can only come on the heart of a mu'min and a believer. But when he has given his heart to drugs, he's given his heart to this woman, he's given his heart to that film actress, he's given his heart to that film and to that theater and that casino, then where is that sukoon going to come? So it is not a question of taking away enjoyment of the community. Wallah, we want you to have enjoyment, happiness, sukoon, peace of mind, contentment, satisfaction, a beautiful life, a life which the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also, they have become desirous of. Now that life will not come if we want to look for it in those places where it is not. It is just like that person who took that lamp, or the person went and he began to search something under the lamppost at night because there was bright light there. So somebody asked him that, what are you searching for? He said, I dropped a coin of mine which I am searching for. He said, where did you drop it? He said, I dropped it in my house somewhere. So why are you searching outside under this lamppost? Because it's dark in the house, so I thought I'd rather search here. Now if he's going to search there all his life, will he ever find it? Just because he saw some brightness there. So if we see some brightness in a cinema, in a theater, in a building that is having rave and music and entertainment, and if we heard some kind of noise being made in the newspapers, certain show here and certain show there, so we all just rush towards it. And that is exactly what will happen when Dajjal will come. That his music is going to attract everybody. One way they will go. Hook, line and sinker. So that person has to go back to his house and bring the light in there if he wants to find that coin which he has lost. Our light is the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we want to look for peace and happiness and contentment, which is a condition of the heart, again I repeat, don't look for it in the material things. Material things are a bonus. If Allah Ta'ala gives it, alhamdulillah, and if He keeps the person poor, then the person must still make alhamdulillah. It doesn't mean that he must just be lazy, not interested in going to work, not looking for avenues to make some earning, and then say alhamdulillah, and then say I'm making tawakkul, and after that extend his hands for begging. That is not what we are meaning. The person is making the correct effort, he's staying away from haram, he's not committing any fraud, he's not cheating anybody, he's paying his debts to whatever extent he can, and despite all that, there was some robbery, there was a burglary, or there was a break-in, or there was a burning of the house or the shop, and the person is poor, then we will say that person, due to circumstances, is facing certain conditions, but still, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him that sukoon in his heart. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us an understanding that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has left behind for us a beautiful example. I thought we will proceed with further, but whatever Allah Ta'ala brings on the tongue, it could be the best for me and for you. May Allah Ta'ala give us the topic of making amal, and we must make a lot of dua at present, our Muslim brothers and sisters and the whole ummah at large. They are suffering practically in every country of the world. We just keep on blaming America, 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 but it's an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which has been placed upon the ummah because of our misdoings and misdeeds and actions. We cannot deny it. We have to just look into our own lives, our own homes, our own environment and society, and we will find the evidence that Allah Ta'ala has become displeased with us. Now how are we going to change the condition? By pleasing that Allah Ta'ala. So for wherever those problems are, we should make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala must remove those difficulties, problems, hardships. Allah Ta'ala must give them ease and comfort. Allah Ta'ala must assist and help them. And Allah Ta'ala must remove that zulm of those zalims that is being unleashed upon them. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.